This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 24, Text 166. It's actually a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.87.18. Udaram upasate ya rishi vartmasu kurpa drishaha parisara padatim hridayam arunayo daharam tata udagar aranta tava dhama shiraha paramam punar iha yat samitya na patanti kritanta mukhe. Okay, interesting meter today. Udaram upasate ya rishi vartma sukur padrishaha.
Udaram upasate ya rishi vartma sukur padrishaha.
Parisara padatim hridayam arunayo daharam.
Parisara padatim hridayam arunayo
daharam. Tata udagadananta tava dhamma shiraha paramam.
Tata udagadananta tava dhamma shiraha
Unari hayat samecha napatanti kritanta mukhe.
Unari hayat samecha napatanti kritanta mukhe.
Udaram,
the abdomen.
Srila Prabhupada gives a footnote. For yogis, the abdomen is technically understood to be munipurastha brahma, brahma situated within the heart to digest food and keep the body fit. Upasate, worship. Yay, those who. Rishi Vartmasu, on the path marked out by the great saintly persons. Kurpadrishaha, whose vision is grossly situated in the bodily conception of life. Parisara Paritim, from which the system of the arteries comes. Hridayam, the heart. Arunayaha, saintly persons headed by Aruna Rishi. Taharam, the sky situated within the heart. The subtle conception of the super soul within the heart. Tataha, from that. Udagat, went up. Ananta, O unlimited one. Tava, your. Tama, place. Shiraha, the top of the head. Paramam, supreme. Punaha, again. Iha, in this material world. Yat, which. Samitya, having achieved. Na, not. Patanti, fall down. Krita antamukhe, in the repetition of birth and death. Those who follow the path of great saintly mystic yogis take to the yogic gymnastic process and begin worshipping from the abdomen, where it is said that Brahma is situated. Such people are called Sarkaraksha, which means that they are situated in the gross bodily conception. There are also followers of the Rishi known as Aruna. Following his path, they observe the activities of the arteries. Thus, they gradually rise to the heart, where subtle Brahma, Paramatma, is situated. They then worship him. O unlimited Ananta, better than these persons are the mystic yogis who worship you from the top of their heads. Beginning with the abdomen and proceeding through the heart, they reach the top of the head and pass through the Brahmarandra, the hole at the top of the skull. Thus, these yogis attain the perfectional platform and do not enter the cycle of birth and death again. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.18.
Udanamupasate yarishi vartmasu kurpadrishaha parisara paritim ridiyam aruniyo dahanam tata udagad ananta tavadhama shiraha padamam punariha yat sametya napatanti kritanta mukhe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the Atmarama verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. He's explaining the word Atma, which he has said sometimes means the mind, in which case an Atmarama is a person satisfied by mental speculation. When such a person comes in touch with a devotee of Krishna, a pure devotee, then he also takes to devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by the personified Vedas. It deals especially with those who are in the bodily conception of life. Udaramupasate literally means worshipping the belly. The gross materialists are like that. They're doing seva to the belly, anamoya. Their focus is on food. There are such people we know. They live to eat. But those who are more advanced meditate on what it is within the belly that's so special. And if they follow the path of sages, they can be elevated. Simply meditation on itself, by itself, doesn't go so far. But when one is guided by enlightened persons, one makes progress. Rishi Vartma means the path of saintly persons. Well, even the gross materialists, by following saintly persons, can make advancement on the spiritual path. Udaram, within the abdomen, Krishna is also there. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva pranina mihadehi. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I become the Vaishvanara. Vaishvanara is the fire of digestion. You can eat as much as you want, but if there's no fire, there's no digestion. And then you can't really eat or get strength or enjoy. The eating process is dependent, therefore, on fire. And of course, the materialists, they simply try to increase that fire by hajmola or some medical preparation. But those who follow the sages try to understand, how is it that this, what is this fire? My whole life is dependent on food. What is it that's digesting this food? And in this way, they come to the understanding that actually Brahma, or the truth, or the supreme, is situated within the abdomen. This is recommended for the gross materialist, whatever it is that absorbs our attention in the materialistic conception of life is ultimately a manifestation of Krishna. But instead of seeing Krishna, we're seeing that material manifestation, and this is called Maya. So the sages arrange things in such a way that gradually one can turn one's attention from matter to spirit, or by deeply meditating on the nature of matter, one comes to the realization that behind matter is the touch of spirit. This body, after all, doesn't function at all without the presence of spirit. And therefore one comes to the conclusion that the spirit within the body is more important than the body itself. Of course, then again, the great materialists sometimes worship themselves as the supreme. They come to the understanding that I'm not matter, that I'm spirit. They intuitively understand from higher advice that spirit is supreme. And so they think, I'm supreme. Hungraha pasana. So they worship themselves as supreme. Even that is sometimes recommended in the Vedic literature, because at least you're worshipping spirit. You're getting free from the platform of Maya, of matter, and coming to the platform of spirit. But it's not a very exalted, not a very high stage, and it can be entangling, because unless one makes the distinction between oneself and God. Even if one meditates upon oneself as spirit, if one is properly guided, one should come to the conclusion that although I'm spirit, I'm not the supreme spirit. I'm Brahma, aham brahmasmi. But that doesn't mean that I'm controlling the sun, I'm controlling the moon. Everything is running under my power. I also have to undergo some spiritual process for realization. And if I'm supreme, why should I have to undergo such a process? In this way, one has to gradually distinguish between oneself as spirit and the Paramatma as the supreme spirit. Then it's mentioned here that some sages, following a rishi named Aruna, meditate on the circulatory system, the arteries, because life is only going on that way also, because of the heart and the circulation of blood. You can look at the different systems, the alimentary system, we need that, then the circulatory system. Without this pumping of the heart and distribution of blood through the veins and arteries, there'd be no life. So in this way, the sages locate Brahma, or the truth, within the heart. And that location is confirmed by Lord Krishna. Ishara sarvabhutana hriday sarjana tishtati. Krishna is located within the heart of every living being. So these sages meditate within the heart. And those who are still more advanced in yoga gradually try to raise the life air from the heart to the Brahmarandra, a specific location at the top of the skull, and by mystic yoga practice leave the body through that Brahmarandra and transfer themselves to the spiritual sky. This process is described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the sage has to free himself from all material attraction, concentrate within, raise the life air finally to the Brahmarandra without letting it escape through any other orifice within the body. And by mystic meditation on the supreme destination, the lotus feet of the Lord, he has to transfer himself from this body at a time of his own choosing, because there are two times for leaving. Shukla Krishne Kati Hiyate, in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's described that there are two times for leaving this body. Shukla Krishne Kati Hiyate Jagata Shasvate Mate Ekaya Yatyanavritim Anyaya Vartate Punah. There are two times for leaving. One can leave during the Shukla, the bright time, especially Uttarayana, the time when the 6 months when the sun is traveling in the north. Or one can leave in Dakshinayana, the time when the sun is traveling in the south. One can leave during the bright half of the month, the time when the moon is waxing, or the dark side, dark fortnight, time when it's waning. So the successful yogis are those who leave during the Uttarayana, the northern course, during the bright half of the month. So they have to, it's a mechanical process, and it depends upon executing all of the procedures with precision. And there are those who, and then they have to be detached so that while leaving the body, they don't get distracted by the various theme parks, like Indraloka, Varunaloka, and so on, where there's all sorts of enjoyment offered to them. But if they remain focused, they can break through the material coverings and attain Vaikuntha, the spiritual sky. But, and in this way, they attain freedom from birth and death. Patanti kritantumukhe. Na patanti kritantumukhe. They don't fall again to this material world. Yad gatva nanivartante tadhama paramamana. But the devotees don't bother about this. That's also described. Naite sriti partha janan yogi muhyati kashchana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukta bhavardhana. The devotees who know these two paths, Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, Shukla, Krishna, they don't concern themselves so much about these things. They concern themselves with Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eho Krishna guna krishta mahamuniha ahoituki bhakti kore nirgranta. His point is, being attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, such yogis become great saints. At that time, not being hampered by the yoga process, they engage in unalloyed devotional service. This is the point of the Atmarama Shloka. Krishna is all attractive. So the great munis, Mahamuni, also become attracted by the guna, the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Ittambhuta gunahari. Krishna guna krishta. Akrishta means attracted. They become attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna. And the result is, ahoituki bhakti kore. They execute unalloyed devotional service. Ahoituki. haitukiya pratiyata, with no material motive. It's not that they're serving because they'll get money or because they'll get followers or they'll get a beautiful wife or they'll get some other long lifetime or some other material benefit. They're serving because Krishna, Guna Krishna, because they're attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Therefore, ahoitiki. They, although in the beginning they may have had some motive, when they come to pure devotional service, no motive. Ahoitiki. Ahoitiki bhakti kore nirgrantaha. And here again, another word in the Atmaram shloka, nirgranta, is here understood to mean they become uninterested in the mystic yoga process. This is the way of devotional service. In the beginning, one comes by the yoga process, or one comes by mental speculation, or one comes because of pious activities, or not because of, but with some attraction to pious activities. But if one comes in touch with a pure devotee of Krishna, then whatever it was that one had as a motive in the beginning drops away. Just as with Dhruva Maharaj, in the beginning, he was looking for a kingdom. He was quite straightforward about it. He wanted to meet the Lord in order to ask him for something. He wanted a kingdom. But when he attained perfection, Swaman Katara Tosmi Vanam Niyache, I don't want anything. No benedictions to ask for. But this is the result of becoming attracted to Krishna. Like gradually one loses attraction for everything else. Therefore, Krishna is very dangerous. The materialists are afraid of becoming attracted to Krishna. Or even sometimes some new man becomes attracted to Krishna consciousness. And he knows, if I become attracted to this, I may forget about everything else. So he's in duality. I should keep my distance from this thing, because if I become too involved, I'll lose my taste for material enjoyment. I lose my taste for material studies. I'll lose my taste for material success. So I'd better not get too close. I'm dealing with dangerous stuff here. That's a fact. Therefore, that verse is there, Smeram Bhangi, my dear friend. If you're at all serious about society, friendship, and love, don't go to the Keshi God. Why? Why shouldn't I go? Because there's that boy known as Govinda, and when you see him in the moonlight, standing in his threefold bending form and playing on his flute, so beautiful, you'll forget all about society, friendship, and love. So don't go there. That means, indirectly, Srila Rupa Goswami is advising us that we should all see the beautiful form of Krishna, become attracted, and forget all about this so-called society, friendship, and love in the material world. Krishna is all attractive, so everyone can be attracted to Krishna. The karmis, the yogis, the gyanis, every kind of atmarama, the self-satisfied materialists, the self-satisfied yogis, the self-satisfied gyanis, they can all be attracted to Krishna, especially by contact with a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the opportunity. If one comes in touch with the association of devotees and comes under the guidance of a pure devotee of Krishna, then his attraction to Krishna can increase, 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 and his life becomes successful. All right, are there some questions?
Could you explain what the difference between the Jnana Yoga, which you described in the third section of the Bhagavad Gita, and the process of Jnana?
What's the difference between Jnana and Jnana Yoga? Yoga means Krishna consciousness. When there's a touch of Krishna consciousness, then Jnana becomes Jnana Yoga. Jnana, simply collecting knowledge, going to the university or on one's own, reading so many books, speculating about so many things. Jnana. But when one is properly guided and connected with Krishna, Jnana becomes Jnana Yoga. Same thing, karma, ordinary fruit of activity. But when there's a touch of Krishna consciousness, it becomes Karma Yoga. So yoga means plus, plus Krishna. When there's Krishna consciousness added, then it becomes yoga. Otherwise it's just karma, just Jnana.
So when we look at the three devotions,
Bhakti Yoga means unmixed. Karma Yoga, still there's karma and there's yoga. I'm still attached to karma, but now I'm adding Krishna consciousness. I'm still attached to mental speculation, but I'm adding Krishna consciousness. But bhakti is Krishna consciousness plus Krishna consciousness. There's nothing else. Unalloyed. Bhakti Yoga. Is that all right?
Yeah. So when the jnani finally surrenders to Krishna because he's in full knowledge, how does that jnana become an obstacle to bhakti? Because
no, it's not. When he's actually a Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Jnanavan, Mam Prapadyute. Prapadyute means he surrenders. When he surrenders to Krishna, then jnana is no longer an obstacle. When one surrenders to Krishna, karma is no longer an obstacle. Karma is an obstacle. Action. Because of my actions and their reactions, I'm separated from Krishna. But when I act for Krishna exclusively, then action is no obstacle. The impersonalist school thinks that action is a problem. We have to become free from action. Inactive. Although Krishna says it's impossible. Still, that's their idea. We can. Sometimes people have that idea. Somehow, spiritual life means to stop all activities. Because they don't understand that activity performed for the Supreme becomes spiritual. Similarly, sometimes they think that spiritual realization means no more again. I used to read books. But now I understand that reading doesn't really get you there. Reading is just a substitute. That thought, as long as you're thinking, you can't, you're not there. One has to free the mind from thought. These are their ideas, because they can't conceive of the idea that there's such a thing as genuinely spiritual thought. Or that genuinely spiritual thought extends all the way to the highest level of spiritual realization. They think there's spiritual thought, but when you're free from all thought, there's like three stages in their conception. First there's material thought, then there's spiritual thought, then there's no thought. That's their idea. Material thought is for the losers, spiritual thought is for the winners, and when you really win, there's no thought. But in Krishna consciousness, we understand that there's material thought, there's spiritual thought, and there's the perfection of spiritual thought. Spiritual perfection doesn't mean that no thinking. It means thinking about Krishna constantly. Manmana bhavamad bhakta. So the process of karma, the process of jnana, or activity and intellectual engagement are perfect when engaged in devotional service. Jiva Goswami, the greatest philosopher in the world. Philosophy means thinking. But his thinking is not like the thinking of the mental speculators, the thinking of the mundane philosophers whose goal in life is to beat the previous philosopher and come up with a new thesis and be published and so on. His philosophy is simply devotional service to Krishna.
Could you explain why
because it's applied. Simply theoretical knowledge, gyan. But then, when one deeply enters the meditational process, withdraws oneself from material life, that's further accomplishment. But all of these methods have to end in devotional service to Krishna, otherwise they're incomplete. Something else? Is that another question?
If we only touch on the rightful position for each person on this blessed path, or is it better to be struggling
towards... Hold on, let me finish the locking up because your voice won't be heard. Again.
The question about everyone's individual place.
Everyone's individual place.
For progressing.
Okay.
But perhaps there may be an unsuccessful eternally struggling vice job, whereas there may be a successful young individual.
You may be an unsuccessful...
You may not achieve that highest.
You may not achieve the highest perfection, but you may be always struggling. Rather than being an unsuccessful something, unsuccessful what? One may be a successful yogi rather than an unsuccessful devotee. Yes, but a successful yogi is a failure. A successful yogi where his success is just that he's got all these mystic powers that he's practicing. But if he never comes to devotional service, yadi ritim shrameva hi kevalam. He's wasting his time. Yeah, really successful yogi is mam prapadyate. He surrenders to Krishna. If he just says, well, I'm, you know, better to be a successful yogi than to surrender to Krishna and maybe not be such a good devotee. It's a better to stay down here on the lower platform where I'm a success. You know, it's like a kid who says, well, here, you know, I'm at the top of the class in secondary school. If I go to college, I'm just going to be, you know, there's, you know, a small timer. Better to stay down here. Better to stay in the minor leagues and be a big success than to join the major leagues and be, you know, just kind of at the bottom of the heap. But that's not progress. And that's not perfection. Well, at least I'm a good karmi. Better to be a good karmi than to be not such a good devotee. But human life is meant for struggle. Human life is meant for advancement. Just to be advanced on the material platform, either as a karmi or as a gani, means to be stuck. Well, I'm good at it, so I might as well stay here. That's called being in a rut. You know, I do what I know how to do, and I never move forward. That's the description of stuck. And that is exactly what happens, that people become karmis, and they become nice karmis. Not nice karmis, but nice karmis. And they think, yes, I do my puja, I do my prayers, I do my work, karmanye vadikadaste, and they remain stuck there. I work, I do my pious activity. Or I read, I study, but I never commit myself to any one path because I'm a scholar. They remain scholars. So, what do they say? Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. It's a risk that I may not be so good as a devotee as I am as a karmiur again. But devotional service is the real thing. So therefore Krishna advises Sarva Dharman Pratyaja. Mamekam Sharanam, surrender to me. Now there are processes, and to make it easier, there are gradual processes. But finally, that's the point to which I have to come. If I'm not making progress, then I'm stuck. Is that all right? You just sat right in front of her, but that's okay. Yeah, if you don't make progress, you're stuck. That's practically a tautology. That's the definition of stuck, not making progress. Even devotional service, we should not simply be stuck. We should be making progress. Something else?
What is the situation with the real dedicated Krishna?
What is the situation with the real dedicated Krishna? Christian? Excuse me?
No, I'm saying I accept Krishna consciousness completely, if I'm not wrong.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering if you would have to be asking a question to the Christian saying, where does Jesus Christ fit in this situation?
Jesus Christ is a pure devotee. Yeah. So one is supposed to follow Jesus Christ. That means also become a pure devotee. Yeah, then he'll become Krishna conscious. Sarva Dharman Pratyaja. Lord Jesus is also teaching the same thing. Give up all your other nonsense and surrender. Anyway, they may chant Hare Krishna or they may find some name of God. The problem is that whether you're Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu or whatever, generally we are held back or stuck. We have some ideological commitment or some religious commitment, but whatever our religion, we compromise and remain stuck in this material world. Therefore, there must be some process by which to get unstuck or to make advancement. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because Nam Nam Kori Bahoda Nijasarva Shakti, all the potencies of the Lord are present in his holy name. So this will bring one forward powerfully. Chanting of the holy name of God. So you may find some holy name of God in your scripture. Otherwise, this name is there, Hare Krishna. We recommend that people should chant and at the same time give up 4 sinful activities. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. In the Bible, be thou perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Not that we're, I'm fallen, and, I just depend on Jesus to uplift me. that's good, you're depending on Jesus to uplift you, but do you have anything to do? You just go night clubbing and wait for Jesus to come and uplift you? There's some endeavor required on the part of the aspiring devotee. So on the one side, one should get free from sinful life, which especially means gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. And positively, to chant the holy name of the Lord. So people of any religion, it's not a sectarian process. That if you're Hindu, chant Hare Krishna. People of any religious persuasion can take advantage of this process of chanting the holy name of the Lord and make progress through pure devotional service. Some other question? All the rules and regulations are there so that you can realize that you cannot follow them.
So the only thing what we can do is just believe?
The only thing we can do is what? Believe?
That Lord Jesus.
All the rules and regulations are there so that we cannot follow. That's a very strange thing. That Jesus came and taught just so that we'd realize that we can't follow what he says. That's a very strange teaching. Jesus told me to give up my sins just so that I could realize that I can't give up my sins and that I should actually remain sinful and just, you know, love Jesus but stay sinful. If I actually love Jesus, then for the love of Jesus I should give up my sinful activities as he said to do. I love you, but I realize I can't do what you say. You know, it's like somebody comes to Gauri Das, our president, and says, "Well, Gauri, you know, I love you. I'm not going to do what you tell me, but I love you. Prabhu, I really love you, even though I'm not going to do what you say." Well, you know, poor Gauri in that situation. Well, thanks a lot. Great to be loved. But we'd rather have you do what I say. Then love will also be there. The preliminary stage of love is obedience. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Fear means, I'll do what you said, what you tell me. All right, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. The beginning is to follow. Following comes first. Or, taking it the other way, love comes first. All right, if you started with love, now can we get to following, please? They should go together, love and following. If it's just following some rules and regulations, but it's no love, then it becomes ritualistic. And if there's love, but no following, then it becomes cheap. Prakriti sahaja. But both things should be there. All right, that I may not, I realize that, you know, it's not giving up sins is not so easy. Therefore, I depend on the mercy of Jesus Christ to free me from my sins. Well, all right, but that doesn't mean I just depend on him while remaining sinful and happy about remaining sinful, committed to remaining sinful. It's also true that by my own effort alone, I can't give up sinful activities. I require the help of superior power. But not that I remain stuck. And you know, I surrender to that superior power, realizing that I'm going to remain eternally sinful. And kind of not too unhappy about that either. No. We say the same thing. Alright, we know that we're sinful. And by our own power, we'll not get free from sins. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarvadharman pratyajya, aham tam sarvapapevyo mokshisham. Surrender to me, mam ekam sharanam praja, and I'll free you from sins. So the surrender should be there, and the sign of the surrender is that I should give up my sinful life. Mm-hmm.
Just recently I was stopped in the street, dressed in the full devotional attire, in Wembley of all places, by a Sri Lankan Christian who stopped me in my tracks and said, Jesus loves me and that I should follow his teaching. Mm. And I said to him, can you name one teaching of Jesus that I'm not following? Mm. And then I said, I would try to be more humble than the grass and the tall and the tree, try to love God with our hearts and our minds, and we're committed not to committing any violence on any other creature.
Mm.
And then I asked him, he wanted to hear you following the teaching.
And just let me go. Okay, I'll let you go too. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.